Welcome to Grace Hour. Hey, we're so excited to be here. This is our ladies' session for the month. And usually our Jasmine is here, but Jasmine's on vacation. Girl, we're missing you, but we're glad you're having a good time with your husband and your family. So instead of Jazz, we have the wonderful Dr. Wanda, and she is going to share with us in a few minutes some wonderful principles that God has been ministering to her heart. We have some announcements to make. September is coming. I know you're not ready for that. It's probably 98 degrees where you are today, but September is coming, and for us, that means the Women's Seminar here in Baltimore. It's a Friday and Saturday event. This year, our title is Restored, The Years That the Locusts Have Eaten. And Laura Hofsis-Gardner is in charge of our seminar. She's doing a great job so far. It's going to be amazing. Friday night, now sometimes we used to have a free Friday night, but not this year. It's too good. It's too good. It's a play about Abigail written by Carolyn Peters. And this seminar is the premier seminar where, from now on, every time you come to a women's seminar, you're going to be getting a book to take home with you, something to refresh yourself in the seminar for the rest of the year. This year, it's the Discipleship Journal. We've been working on it for a year and a half, almost 2 years now. And it goes through the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, all those a time for. And it's been written by 28 women on 5 different continents. You're going to want to get a copy of this book. The good news is it's included in the price of the seminar. The seminar is $40. That gets you all the sessions Friday night and Saturday and the book. For $20 extra, you can get lunch here in the Fellowship Hall. It's going to be amazing Greek food. Oh, I love it. Salad and everything. Chicken on the skewers. Oh. My goodness, so good. So that's $60 per person. You have 7 weeks to save up $60. You can do it. That's the total with lunch. The registration's already online, and we'll put a link on our Facebook page later today so you can sign up. The Discipleship Journal, really, I can't say enough about it. You can use it for your personal devotional time. You could buy an extra copy and use it with a friend. Both of you read a chapter and get together once a week to talk about it. You could use it in a group. And the normal price for this book is $18.95, but that Saturday only you can get it for $15. So amazing. Well, we couldn't talk about anything but health with Dr. Wanda here. We're so blessed to have her. And oh, did I forget to say she's one of the speakers at the seminar? Yes, she is. So you're getting a little preview of the good things that are to come. We want to talk about the human body, but in an interesting way, because God has already laid out a plan for us. And just a reminder, you could give us a call and chat with us today. If you're watching this live, it's 1-800-338-7060 here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. You can contact us by email, on Facebook, YouTube. Oh, my gosh. And if you're watching this many days since. Hey, India, we love you. Thank you for all the presents and letters you girls send me. Love you so much. I'm going to get there someday. I'm going to be in Mumbai someday. It's going to be a good day. So thank you for all your love and support. But if you can't catch us here, we're on Google, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. Yay for you cool cats who know what all that means. But let's start talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness. All right. It demonstrates the trichotomy of man. We know that from listening to Pastor Schaller and taking his biblical psychology class, which is on, I think, Tuesday night this year. If you want to learn something, take that. Bible college is so much more than a church service. They're going to go through the Bible in a way and teach you week by week things that you've never heard before. That biblical psychology class is phenomenal. I took it last year. So pastor has taught us we've got a body, soul, and spirit. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know you not, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the tabernacle of Moses that was laid out in the wilderness was constructed to be, again, the earthly dwelling for the presence of God. How does it relate to us? Well, it starts with a big courtyard with curtains, all right? An enclosed area where sacrifices would take place. And you see a little tent set in the middle of it. I think it was dark because the curtains were dyed dark, or the badger skins, whatever was on there was kind of a dark thing. We're kind of like that too. We've got this smooth outer thing going on here, smooth outer skin, just like those curtains. And there was a little opening. We've got this mouth. Okay, I know I'm getting ridiculous here. Just bear with me. And what came first when you walked in there was the brazen altar, brazen because it was made of bronze, and the brazen laver, like a big bathtub, okay, made out of bronze. The brazen altar was where all the sacrifice took place. And think of a big barbecue grill, all right? You know, not just the kind that we have on our decks, but big. This thing was big, all right? And it was the place of sacrifice. Well, how do we relate to that? It says in Leviticus 6:13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. How do we keep our fire burning for yourselves? All right. Church, reading your Bible.
Absolutely.
Prayer. I love to read missionary biographies. I love relating to these women. I love good, clean, wholesome fiction. Usually children's fiction is something I read, maybe often by Christian authors, that turns me to godly principles. That brings me joy and builds me up. So we got to keep ourselves on fire. Going to outreach, going on outreach with friends is a phenomenal way. You can go to lunch after, but spending, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, going on Saturday morning here at Greater Grace, being with the body in that way, having a friend next to you, but looking for the lost, looking for the lost. That's a beautiful way to get your heart on fire. We just had people spend an entire month, 31 days in Richmond, Virginia, doing it every day, seeking to save the lost. Beautiful. That brazen laver, honestly, big bathtub, and the priest would wash their hands and feet. Where'd they get this stuff in the wilderness? Well, remember, before they left Egypt, God directed them to borrow things from their neighbors. This was one time they're borrowing things and they weren't going to give them back. They borrowed stuff and they skedaddled out of there. They took all that stuff with them. And God tells us exactly where this big bathtub came from in Exodus 38:8. He made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembled, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Phenomenal that women had a part in that. And their mirrors back then were not made of glass like ours are. They were made of brass, like an oval or a circle shape, polished so that it was really shiny on a little handle, maybe an iron handle, and they could see their reflection in it. And I'll tell you, God has used this verse all week because something happened to me where I got offended. Oh, does that ever happen to anyone? I was not treated right in a situation. Come on, I could tell you all about it over coffee. But what does that serve? Oh, it'll inflate my ego and I'm going to be throwing shade on whoever didn't do me right. But you know what? I was like, nope, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. And I clung to this verse. You know what? If we're going to minister at the door of the tabernacle, if you're going to be a minister at church and sometimes all you're doing is smiling, all right, that can be a ministry of
That's
smiling,
correct.
A ministry of That's taking correct. Someone out for a coffee or tea. You got to stop looking at yourself so much. I thought about this verse and I completely gave the whole situation up. What does it matter that I wasn't treated right? So what? You know, this whole tabernacle is about a place of sacrifice. Could I not let that go? Could I not put my mirror down and let God, just let God be God? You know, I love it. Then we enter into that tent, the holy place. It's the place, now we've gone from the body, all that's happening in the body, to the mind. Here's the place where worship is conducted. Here's the soul, of the worshiper being engaged, all right, through the mind, the will, and the motions with the preaching. All right, we've learned from biblical psychology that we have this imagination, we have a conscience, we can bring things to remembrance, we can remember things, we can reason, we have affections, all right? We have a conscience and a conscious. Those two words drive me nuts.
Consciousness and conscious, yes.
And I'm just going to talk for a few more minutes and then going to let Dr. Wanda go. But this mind, our mind is represented by this lampstand. It was made out of one chunk of gold. You know, it was not covered in gold. It was one solid thing. Seven prongs coming up and little bowls, probably filled with olive oil, definitely filled with olive oil, and a little wick in there. And here's the only light in this little dark tent. It's reflecting off the other gold furnishings, the tapestries, the curtains, and this beautiful olive oil. Olive oil is what they used for anointing, right? Symbolic of our mind. Our mind is going to reflect what we put in it. You know, if they poured in milk into those little bowls, that wouldn't have burned. If they poured in Dr. Pepper, no, that wouldn't have burned. What are we putting in our mind so that our mind can be the candle of the Lord? Oh my gosh, how much screen time are you spending, and with what? All right, you have a little guilty pleasure. Is it rated R? Really? Should you be watching it? Should you be reading that book? I don't know. You watch some scary movies and you can't sleep and your mind is all involved in that. And you think maybe, oh, I'm married. I could watch this R-rated sexy thing because, you know, I am a married woman. I know what this is. No, 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 no. You're defiling yourself. And you are using your mind in a way God does not want you to use it. He wants you to have this pure anointing. Oh, let's make daily decisions that lead us to God's thoughts. Then the table of showbread. And I read this one article that said it was the bread that they put out so that God would show up. I don't know if that was exactly right.
I don't know that either.
I don't know.
Wow.
But there was this, they baked bread every week and put it out, 12 loaves, 6 and 6. All right. We know 6 is the number for man. So double man on this table. But I love that it said, put frankincense on each one. Now, frankincense, if you use it, you can go on Amazon, buy a cream, frankincense toothpaste. I've seen all kinds of powder and stuff. It's made from the dripping from a tree. You slash the tree and this resin comes out. I don't know. I've done some research, half and half. It works, it doesn't work. But people use it for inflammation. Inflammation is a part of your body's natural immune system to heal an injury or fight an infection, right?
That's correct.
It's a good thing when it's doing its job. And you like frankincense.
I do.
She's going to give a plug for it. So good. But if inflammation becomes long lasting, it's a problem. Maybe your body is attacking things it shouldn't be attacking. So if, remember Dr. Stevens's message, baked in the loaf, if we are all baked in the loaf, we kind of have to get along with the people in the loaf, right? And thank goodness there's a little bit of frankincense in there to, when we have inflammation, when we're rubbing each other the wrong way. Again, I had an issue last week. It's always the week before Grace Hour that things start popping up. And I just kept thinking about that situation. You know, unity is more important than me getting my own way, I say to myself several times a day.
Absolutely.
Yep. I was telling someone last night, here's the whole key to life. Do not let your soul control your body. All right, so we're in the place of the soul, the holy place. It's an important place, the mind, the will. Our will has to be baked in the loaf with other believers. And I love that every Sabbath they set it in order. I feel like when we go to church on Sunday, Pastor Schaller sets us in order for the week. And John 12:24, Jesus says, it's one of those verily, verilys, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So, okay, there's death planned for you in the body of Christ. Why are we surprised? You know, somebody rubs you the wrong way. Why are we surprised? It's all part of the process to get you to die and lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is it. This is what God wants, you to turn to him. Bring your confusion. The last thing that's in this area is the altar of incense. And for me, that stands for emotions. Because, boy, you sprinkle that incense and fire. You know, our emotions can get crazy. And back in the 80s, all right, I'm going to just say this. It was said, oh, women are so emotional. Oh, that seminar was so emotional. Or that speaker is so emotional. And it was talked about as a negative thing. And honestly, for years, I repressed and did not want to show emotions, did not want to appear unspiritual. And I just stuffed them down. And I thought that was the way to deal with it. But no, I read in a children's book, a beautiful Christian Science children's book, God gave us our emotions to enjoy the world. Amen. I think I read that 40 times before I believed it. I was like, what? All these years I've been stuffing these things down and ignoring them. No, your emotions in themselves are not good or bad, but sometimes it can be a little red flag. And for me, it's time to go to the Lord. All right. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, love, joy. Joy is an emotion. When I feel that joy, I go to God and I'm just so thankful. At a wedding that I was at recently, oh my gosh, such joy seeing God obviously putting this couple together. Such thanksgiving, such thankfulness for what God was doing. And I let myself feel it. It was like, yes, we're going to feel this and enjoy this. Yay! When your son gets a girlfriend, woohoo! And it's Facebook official. There's joy. And you meet her and you're crazy about her. There's joy. Go ahead and feel it. Go ahead and enjoy it. The thing is, we just can't make decisions based on that one little thing. It's your emotions, your mind, and your will. And now they've got to submit to the next part. We go in deeper into that tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies. It's separated by this veil, the innermost chamber of the tabernacle. It's got one thing, the Ark of the Covenant. And the lid on that has got two angels. And I couldn't believe it. Pastor Schaller said yesterday morning, we are like angels. We are looking in with bated breath, seeing what God has done. And these two angels on top of this amazing, like a humongous gold jewelry box. Think of like it as big as your bed. This maybe not that big. This huge box. And what's inside? The law, Aaron's rod, and that pot of manna to remind them of God's provision. And of course the angels are looking in, going, what? The word of God written down in a Bible? In a Bible, we have this amazing Bible that we get to have. No one in America is penalized or punished for having a Bible. You can have 100 of them.
Amen.
Hundreds of years ago, this was not the case. It's amazing that we have this word of God. It's amazing that we have Aaron's rod, authority, pastors, things that are set up to bless us. All authority is set up to bless, protect, and cover. And the pot of manna, God's provision, all right? He rains down honey bread from heaven. Come on, what could be better? Well, ice cream could have been better, but it was hot. I get it. It would have melted and been sticky. So we'll take the honey bread. And we look in and we exercise faith there. We don't exercise faith in the outer court. We don't exercise faith in our mind, our will, and emotions. But when we go in to the Spirit, and that's where we need to make our decisions. You know, you can get crazy mad over a situation. Don't get on Facebook and talk about it. Go to the Lord. All right. You can get crazy mad at your husband. You can get crazy mad at yourself. It's okay. Let all that calm down. Enter into the Holy of Holies. And I'll tell you, if you're listening to this and you don't know what I'm talking about, it's from the book of Exodus. You can go and look there. But you can't get into that Holy of Holies unless you're born again. What are you waiting for? It's so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You cannot cleanse yourself from your own sin. Many of us have tried through rituals, through prayers. You can't do it. It's the blood of Christ. That's why he sent his son. That's why Jesus died on the cross, for you, for your sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Woohoo! You get the golden ticket to go to heaven after that. You can enter into this spiritual holy of holies and be intimate with God. All right?
Amen. I love it. I love it. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So
we've got some ladies that are saying hi to us on Facebook. Carol Ann from Finland. Christine, I think you're in Washington State. It's good to have you. Deborah and Teresa.
Hi, so, ladies.
We're going to let Dr. Wanda take over.
I don't know about taking over, but I'll take a few moments to speak.
Awesome.
First of all, this is nothing short of privilege to be able to just be on the Grace Hour and be available to the body, to the women and the men who are listening, the body of Christ. There's so much going on today. We hear so much about our health. You know, we've come through COVID. There's so many questions. What do we do? How does God view this? And God has a view about it. You know, there are teachings out there that are, well, if you're positive, if you have positive thoughts, it'll correct everything. Wrong. If I just name it and claim it, it'll be mine. Wrong. God has his own thoughts. And so when we think about principles that God has established in his word, one of the very first things that we learn here, at least at Greater Grace, is the law of sin and death. Mm. For the wages of sin is death. And in Romans 8, verse 6, it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In Proverbs, it says, 18, I believe, that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof are death. And God has his own thoughts. God has established his way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so understanding that God has already established what he wants and how he wants it to work is key. In Exodus 15:26, it said, God said to the people, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Mm.
Amen.
In Psalm 101, it says the word of God says that he sent his word to heal us. The word of God. Who is the word? Christ. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and there was nothing made that was made without him. Jesus is our health and our strength. Yeah. What he dictates, and you might say, well, there are principles, absolutely, just as in medicine, a lot of people think medicine is black and white. It's very gray.
Okay.
We have guidelines. And guess what? They don't work for everybody.
Oh.
You know? Everybody who's an asthmatic doesn't need a pump.
Okay.
Or whatever. Everybody who's diabetic doesn't need medication. There are principles and guidelines, and they're important, and we should be mindful of those. But what's of greater importance is coming at the feet of God and asking him to shine a light on what's going on. Because you know what? If you don't know the root cause of something, how can you treat it? Would you believe me if I told you there are people who develop cancer because they have unforgiving spirits?
Oh.
And who would think, you know, oh, make sure you're eating right, make sure you're exercising, make sure you're... Yeah, but the problem that caused this in the first place was an unforgiving spirit. If you don't deal with that, you will never deal with your immune system that's been disrupted by that.
Wow.
Okay. So all of these things are very, very important. And then there are also multiple causes. It's not just necessarily one thing. So wisdom is important. And so wisdom is the application of knowledge. And God tells us to get knowledge. He wants us to get knowledge. But with that, also get understanding and get wisdom, which is the application of knowledge in the specifics of your life.
Amen.
That cannot happen by watching TV, watching a guru, even just talking to your doctor, who may not be spirit-filled, but may be very good at medicine. And I don't want to take anything away from my colleagues at all, but I remember Pastor saying one time in a service, and it really stuck with me. He says, let the world be the doctors, the lawyers, and you let them be that. He said, but you be who you can be, a spirit-filled child of God. You can lead someone to Christ. You can pray for revelation knowledge and get an insight onto what's happening that will really make a change in somebody's life for the better. And I took that to heart. I didn't take it to mean, oh, leave medicine. I took it to mean I can be a spirit-filled doctor. I can ask God to give me wisdom for people's lives, and I can share that. I can say that in 35 years of medicine, everything I learn in the pulpit, I get to share with people in the office.
So beautiful.
Because they may never step a foot in a church.
So true.
There have been times when people of different faiths, Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, whatever, Jewish, have come in the office and they were near death and they have received Christ. Mm. They never set foot in a church. But I was able to do what God had called me to do as a member in particular. And that's so important. That's so important. So I do want to talk about some other things as well. And I do want to also open it up. I know people may have questions about different things, and I think that's extremely important. I want to be able to answer as many as I can. I want to go back to what Michelle talked about before about the human body. We are partite. We have our spirit, which by the grace of God is controlled by the Holy Spirit. We have our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we have our physical body that gives us information through the five senses.
Yep.
And so the order, the hierarchy that God ordained was that we would get sensory input from our senses and it would, you know, give that information to the soul. And then the soul would use that information and be able to make decisions. And so there's also, that's a whole nother thing. I talk about it in my book. There's a difference between making a choice and making a decision.
Oh, that's so good. And let's just remind everyone or announce that you have written a book.
Yes.
It's being edited. It will be published soon, and we'll keep you up to date on how to get that when it comes out.
Yes. It's called From Deceit and Deception to Destiny. And it specifically talks about health issues and just how we're deceived by many, many things. And I go through the different deceptions. But one of the first things is defining the words that we use and what does that mean. And all this exciting research has come out now to just verify what God has asked us to do all these years.
So good.
You know, it's like, oh, we finally catching up to the word of God. Hey, good. So good. But, and that's a whole nother thing. So I don't want to go off into that right now, but God has set us up that way. And so decision-making is extremely important. So making a decision means you've thought about it. You've mused over it, and you've actually taken that thought to the end, to a conclusion, and then you choose something that really will not change. Versus a choice, which is, you know, I chose vanilla ice cream today. Tomorrow I might choose chocolate. My choices can change, but my decisions, for the most part, are final. And decisions without doctrine is foolishness. Mm. All of our decisions need to be baked in doctrine, especially as it pertains to our health. And, you know, the devil tries to continue to deceive us as he did with Eve in the garden. You know, and what was his deception to Eve? It was fivefold. He says, God's a liar. So he's lying about the character of God. Then he says, this fruit will make you wise. Okay. But she didn't realize what she already had inside of her. Mm-hmm. She didn't act in her consciousness where she had all these other trees to eat from. She was living in lack and scarcity and not realizing the abundance of what she actually had. And that this one little thing would make her be like God. Another lie. She was already like God. God created them in the image of himself. They were already like God.
So good.
You know? And when she thought it was, you know, she says, well, it looks good. It's going to make me wise. And again, we don't know where they were in their conversations with God in the garden. Mm-hmm. We don't know if she knew all of his attributes and all of these things about the Lord prior to that. But that's in the book, too. So get the book. But it's important for us to make decisions. Just like when we follow Jesus, when we decide that we're going to humble ourselves and reckon ourselves dead to our old life, because God said that we're new creatures in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When we reckon ourselves dead, then it's not hard to do what God asks us to do in our individual lives, whatever that is. Okay. I do have to give you this little tidbit, though. The research now shows and verifies that speaking can change your genetic expression. It can cause upregulation or downregulation of DNA in your body.
Wow.
What does God tell? Music, vibration.
Wow.
Can do the same thing. What does God tell us to do? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Philippians, he tells us to think on things that are lovely, that are pure, mm-hmm. that have a good report. Mm-hmm. Why did God tell us to do? Because it upregulates our genes. Hello. I love it. It protects your immune system. Hello. When you talk about, like I just said, about forgiveness, why is it important to forgive? Mm-hmm. I'm not hurting that other person when I'm unforgiving. I hurt myself. I kill my immune system and all kinds of stuff starts to happen. And the devil is like, yep, that one fell. Another one bites the dust. There you go. There's so many. Oh, I'll stay focused. There's so much on this topic. It's just amazing. And just how God in his faithfulness has shown me these things over the years. Literally, I will share, I had a condition where I was dizzy and could barely walk. I couldn't go up and down. It was terrible. It was about 6 months I had that condition and some very severe joint pain. And I just remember laying down one night and saying, look, Lord, if you're ready to take me, I'm good. Like, I'm good. I don't have to do this. This is a bit much, you know, raising a daughter, trying to take care of people and being dizzy and people, you're like, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Let's, you know, keep it moving. But the Lord revealed to me that the reason I was having those issues was because I had this long love affair with horoscopes.
Oh.
And he's like, you get rid of the horoscopes. You're allowing demonic activity to make you ill. And at first I was like, that can't be God telling me that. This is harmless. Not so. In fact, it's really shocking how the occult is in so much of what we do. And even I'm going to make a statement some of you might get really maybe upset about, but even occultic practices in yoga.
True.
So you have to be mindful. It's like, oh, it's just stretching. Some of those poses are poses for opening your spirit gate for demonic forces to come in. And so we have to be careful. We have to be mindful, and we need to listen. And I say that being someone who's been a little hard-headed over the years, and I've learned.
Ditto.
That obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
And there's so much I could talk about, but I think it might be good to just maybe let people ask questions and try to answer those questions the best I can.
We'd love to have you call us, 1-800-338-7060. Here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Greetings to Keith, Evelyn, and Belinda, all on YouTube, chatting with us. Keith is from the Isle of Wight. That's pretty amazing. Across the pond. Good to hear from you, sir. Now, Christine talks about psychoneuroimmunology.
Mm-hmm.
Would you define that for me? I've never heard that word.
Well, the psyche is your mind, your thoughts, your thought patterns. So there's a difference between the mind and the brain. A lot of people get that confused. They think it's the same thing when you talk about your mind that you're talking about your brain. Your brain is an organ that has neurotransmitters and that synapse and, okay, I don't want to get too technical, but anyway, that synapse and produce substances that can affect your emotions, can affect your thought. Your immunity is based in your cells. You know, our bone marrow is where we produce a good portion of our blood cells. Our spleen is also a very large immune organ, as well as our gut.
Okay.
Most people don't know that.
Okay.
But it all affects how we feel. And this is the thing. How we feel determines what we do.
True that.
If I don't feel like doing something, I don't do it. When I feel like doing something, I'll do it, whether it's good or bad. Like, it's like, how do you feel? And so, again, our emotions are extremely important, and there are things that trigger our emotions. There are things that can produce dopamine in our body, like watching too much cell phone or computer screen. And you know what dopamine does? Oh, man, did you know dopamine is on a pathway that not only gives us pleasure, but it gives us pain, like an addict.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? Dopamine hits watching the phone. I have to be careful. I'm on a schedule. I'm on a schedule with the phone.
Yeah. Well, did they purposely design games and activities get involved?
Mm-hmm.
And even when you walk away from the phone, you're still thinking about that and wanting to come back to it.
It is made the same way. It triggers the same mechanism in your brain that a hit of cocaine does. Okay,
wow.
Guys, did you all hear me?
Wow.
So it's extremely important that we be wise with what we have. I'm thankful for technology, but we also have to use wisdom with it. And I won't even go into right now. You know, it emits electromagnetic field that is dangerous to us and causes disease as well. So it's all these things. And so, yes, it's important to know what we're dealing with and to use wisdom and to really have God's mind for what it is he has for us at this time in human history.
So good. So good. We've got a comment from Doreen on Facebook thanking you for that testimony about dizziness. I remember back in the day, Dr. Stevens would talk about a man who'd been to the doctor several times and was getting ready for surgery because he had this cough and this tickle in his throat. And I think after this funny story that Dr. Stevens would tell at the end, the man's collar button was too tight.
Oh, my. Well, you know, I want to bring this up, too. I wanted to purpose to bring this up. You know, sometimes we're sick because of our sin. You know, we want to skirt around that, and we want to call it something else. Oh, I have weakness. Oh, I have a genetic tendency. That's God is so good. He says, define what we're dealing with here and agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Agree quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all our righteousness. But if we don't call sin, sin, we leave the door open to continue.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you might struggle with it until that time when God delivers you, but like you need to call it what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not, you may have a sugar addiction, but you know, if you're a glutton, call it what it is.
Well,
have that spirit, you know, I'm just saying,
yep.
You just got to call it what it is because you can't deal with it. If you're in denial,
I agree.
And you can't fight an enemy you cannot define.
Yep. We have a strong spirit that goes towards alcohol in my family on one side of my family tree. And my grandfather drank every day. My mom, God bless her. I know she's home with the Lord, but she drank every day. So I will never drink. We can't have it in the house. We can't cook with it. My children know if they ever see a bottle of alcohol to call Pastor Shabelli immediately. Don't confront me. Just call him because I need deliverance at that point. You know, I can't open the door for me, it's opening the door and letting demons have access if I start drinking alcohol. And why would God not? Why would he let them not? You know, if I'm going to open the door, if I insist on drinking alcohol and opening that door, you know, God's not going to stop it. He's going to let it happen.
Right, right. So we all have genetic issues as humans, but again, they don't have to be expressed.
Amen. Amen.
They don't have to be upregulated.
Amen.
Or downregulated. They just need to come under submission to the Spirit of God.
When you got saved, all curses were made null and void. And now you get to make great decisions. No matter what happened in your family, whether it was nurture or nature, you get to break free.
I like that we get to, you know, I think sometimes when you first get saved, it's like, I'm definitely not going to do it. And then you fail and you go, how did that happen? I thought the Spirit of God lived in me. What's wrong with me? And some of it, many of it, it is choices. But just learning, like, to be led of the Spirit and also learning to forgive yourself.
Yes.
When you do fail, you know, it's like, wait a minute, I have to talk to the atmosphere. No, devil. Yeah, I did. He'll say, you know, you just sinned. You can't really go back and talk to God and be bold at the throne of grace right now. You know you can't. It's like, but no. That's you. That's not me.
Amen.
I am forgiven. Now, I'm clean. I'm righteous. And I actually, in my righteousness, have the authority to tell you to get out of here.
Amen.
Get thee behind me.
Amen.
And move forward in that.
It's beautiful. We have a caller here in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
From Belinda. We'd love to chat with you. Hi, honey.
Hi. I'm so thankful for being on.
Yay.
You guys are beautiful ladies. I love you both.
Thank you, honey.
Hi.
Thank
you. I'd like to I have a question for Dr. Wanda about heart failure, congested heart failure, which I have.
Mm-hmm.
So could you please talk on that topic?
Congestive heart failure is, it means your heart's pumping capacity has been diminished significantly. And when that happens, you can get a buildup of fluid in your legs, in your lungs, in your heart. There are different treatments out there for it. You know, clearly not taking in too much sodium is the first thing, not doing too much salt, but there are many other things. So usually that happens from either hypertension or coronary artery disease, lack of blood flow, and sometimes can happen from people who have sleep apnea. They actually can develop right-sided heart failure and dilatation of the right ventricle from that. So, and that can cause congestive heart failure.
Clot help cause it, and also asthma, because I had all three.
So, you know, so having asthma, having had clots, maybe to your lungs, can do the same thing. It causes a significant shift in the pressure gradient and makes you prone to developing congestive heart failure.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for picking my call and answering my questions. I love you both. Thank you so much for having me, you know, having me on.
Thank you, Belinda.
You're a sweetheart. We love you. We received an email question. How can we be aware of demonic occult practices that happen around us without seeing a demon behind each doorknob? And honestly, I would love a whole Bible college semester on spiritual warfare and on getting to know about the warfare. You know, Paul says, put on your armor every day, but then if we don't recognize our enemy, we end up fighting your friends and family. And I would honestly love a whole 15-week semester class on that. I'm going to direct you to ask that question again tomorrow when the pastors are here. But I know for myself, I do not touch alcohol because I don't take drugs because I'm afraid of needles. Never getting a tattoo, even though I love them, but I'm afraid. So, but anytime you're going to take a drug, drink a drink, take a pill, where you smoke marijuana, where you give up control of your body, where you cut off the spirit, even cut off the mind, you know, and just let it all go. You're not going to wake up happy tomorrow morning, I can tell you that. And for me, I often have demonic type nightmares where it's more than a bad dream. It's a scary dream, feels like there's a presence in the room. But maybe we're talking once every 2 years. This is not a frequent thing with me. And I just rebuke the atmosphere in my bed, praise God, and it's over in seconds and I'm fast asleep and happy.
That's amazing. I grew up around witchcraft.
Oh, okay. Different story.
So that's a whole. That's a whole different story, and I happen to be very sensitive to demonic spirits in the atmosphere, and that's a whole story I'm not going to go into right now. But I would say, ask God.
So good.
You know. Lord, because you have to ask God, what is this? Is it me? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my flesh. Is it a spirit? Is it something else? Is it natural? Is this just, so there's details of life. We all experience some details of life. Oh, I stomped my toe. That didn't mean it was a demon. And it didn't mean my flesh was acting up. I stomped my toe. It's a detail. It's not a big deal. Unless you break your toe, but
ouch.
But it's a detail.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of God will discern for you.
Yeah.
We don't have to, I've discerned this or I feel this. I feel a lot of things a lot of times, and it doesn't mean it's reality.
So good. The scripture does tell us that Satan is a liar and that he loves to accuse the brethren because in that way he accuses God. Just like Dr. Wanda spoke a few minutes ago in the Garden of Eden. You study the Garden of Eden, and you study how he tried to tempt Christ, and you'll get a lot of insight into his methods. If you're gossiping, you are making touchdown for the wrong team. So you might want to ask God to help you stop gossiping, stop putting people down, stop accusing people. Hey, it's a trap we all fall into. You know, we got a good story about how great we looked that day and how foolish someone else looked. Never mind. Don't tell that story. Mm-hmm. We have a great question here on Facebook from Audrey. Dr. Wanda, what's your take on natural remedies in comparison to researched medicine?
I am an advocate of natural and alternative medicine in addition to conventional medication and medicine when needed. I do feel that prevention is always better than treating something that's end stage, which unfortunately I see too much of, where people come finally and it's like, wow, we're at stage 3, stage 4, whatever it is, kidney disease or the hypertension is out of control. They already have damage done in organ damage. And so at that stage of the game, you still do need to do the dietary changes and some supplements may be in order, but to save your life and to give you a better health expectancy at that point, some people would need to be on medication. Again, there's a growing number of functional medicine doctors out there now who will do both. There are naturopaths who just focus on, you know, natural interventions. And you pray. Okay, so I'll get back to pray and ask God, who do you need to see? Who is going to be the best type of doctor for you? It's not a one size fits all at all. I mean, I'm very thankful for modern medicine and the things that we have learned. But, it's always better to prevent an illness than to have to deal with it.
Very good advice. Thank you. We've got Sarah, who's calling from here in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Sarah. You're on the Grace Hour.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Dr. Wonder.
Yes, Sarah.
This is Sarah speaking.
Yes, go ahead.
Have you got a question, dear?
Well, not really a question, but I was surprised. I just understand now that you're Dr. Wonder, because I was going to ask you the question, if you are, and somebody said, Dr. Wonder. And I was surprised because we were together in Baltimore in conferences there, and I was really blessed and surprised when I heard Dr. Wonder.
I don't always tell people I'm a physician, because they make a judgment on my life, whatever that is. I just rather be, I mean, yes, I'm Dr. Wanda, but I can be Wanda, and I can just be a servant, and I don't have to have a title.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Okay. We were all in Africa, and she was a blessing to us.
Amen. I'm glad then. God is good.
Yes, he is. And I'm so happy to hear her now, because I guess she forget all of us but me.
I didn't forget you. I didn't forget you. I mean, I had to think about it for a minute, but now I know who you are.
Yeah, I just now you know who I am. So I'm so glad to hear. I'm surprised because I never had a woman speaker, and
okay.
That was the men.
Well, once a month we have ladies here on Grace Hour. It's the second Monday of each month.
Yes.
And we're so glad, Sarah, that you called in and greeted Dr. Wanda. Thank you so much. All right, you still have a few minutes to call, 1-800-338-7060, 410-483-3700. Thank you, Joanne, for your kind comment. I think wise women stay close to their pastor.
Absolutely.
Stay close to the pulpit.
Absolutely.
In Song of Solomon, it says, she's by the footsteps of the flock. Stay in the path. I read a devotional one time about a little girl in Africa who was walking with her mom at night, and she had a flashlight, and she was waving it wildly back and forth on the path, and her mother said, no, just hold the flashlight right here. We don't want to awaken any snakes or animals on the side. And so that goes back to this idea of demons. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Stay with your brothers and sisters in the body. There's a prayer meeting Dr. Wanda hosts on Saturday night.
Yes.
The details are on Facebook. Hey, come join that prayer meeting. Go to church. Read your Bible. Don't put big, heavy burdens on yourself, because it's not going to be fun. I always say, I'm sorry, prayer and sex are very similar. If it's not fun, you're not going to want to do it. Make prayer fun. Look forward to it. Have a special time. Hey, this is great. I love this. I'm going to pray. It's Monday for me. I'm praying for my firstborn. Hey, Michael, shout out to my baby. On Tuesday, I pray for my secondborn. On Wednesday, my thirdborn. Hey, I got a little schedule. Maybe you have some pictures for prayer. Little book of pictures that you want to focus on. Maybe Saturday night is you're going to pray for Pastor Schaller to have a great message the next morning. Make it fun, and you'll want to do it. Make exercise fun, and you'll want to do it. We have another call. Bernice is calling from Louisiana, and we are so happy to hear from you. Hi, Bernice.
Hey, how are you?
Happy.
Great.
Yeah, you sound happy. Were that you given all the prayer requests?
How are you, my dear?
I'm doing okay. I just thought of a question I wanted to ask, and I, well, to talk to my pastor, I don't know if I even know his phone number. I mean, it'd be so many people there on Sunday, it's kind of hard to, you know. I guess I could. I don't know. I just always call Grace Dive. I like their answers. I wanted to ask a question about those, I'm not at the scripture, but I believe it, I know most of you say, like, those that hold out till the end shall be saved. I know it's in the gospel, but I don't understand it, because if I'm saved, I'm saved. And you know, by accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
But then that scripture says, those who hold out till the end shall be saved. I guess I could have found it on the save, but I was trying to rush up. I didn't know what time it really started. But I know it's in the, one of the gospel, maybe in all of them.
We're going to ask you to call in when Pastor Love is here and ask him that question for a real doctrinal answer.
Yes, that would be great.
I don't know the reference to that verse. It would take me a few minutes to look it up. But I think sometimes Scripture expresses an experiential kind of salvation where, yes, you are positionally saved, you're all set. But maybe those that hold on till the end will enjoy their salvation, will enjoy their life with God.
Maybe so, because I believe, like you said, my standing is in the Lord, that I've accepted Christ plus nothing.
Amen.
You know, he did it on the cross. And I think, I don't know if my pastor preached that. I know I hear him say, you're not perfect. Of course, I know that. But those are some of the same, the first scriptures I read when I was saved, I used to call when, before, I can't think his name, before he passed, I hadn't been saved long, that being justified by faith and sanctification.
Amen.
And sanctification is progressive, I knew that.
Amen.
So I don't know what it means, those that hold out to the end, but it sounds good what you said anyway.
Well, you call when Pastor Love is here, and I know he'll be right on it, and I'm going to be listening to hear his answer. Thanks so much for tuning in. What a joy to have Dr. Wanda. Thank you
for inviting me.
Oh, we're so honored. Thanks to Sebastian, who presses all the buttons to make sure you can see and hear us. Glory to God.
Amen.
We love you. Tune in tomorrow. You'll get to hear our pastors talk about some wonderful stuff.
Amen.
We're blessed that you joined us.